She wondered if the Kwakan would appear for supper. The door to his private room had been closed all day. She dared not knock, but she felt it would be discourteous to eat without him. The last light had disappeared, and she had lit candles in the main room when he came to the door of the passage. Without a word, he nodded to her and went to close the shutters. Pak started to speak, but he forestalled her with a fluent gesture of one hand. He laid a fire on the hearth and lit it. Pak stood, wondering what to do. He pointed to the ham, and then to her. When she offered him a slice, he shook his head, but sat at the table to watch her eat. Her appetite had vanished. The ham lay in her stomach like a huge stone, and her mouth was dry. She looked over at him. He was watching her, his dark eyes warm. That gaze soothed her, and she was able to eat a bit more, and drink a mug of water. At last, he reached and touched her hand, and gestured toward her palate against the wall. She looked toward it, and at once, the panic she thought had gone rose in her mind like a fountain, bursting her control. She choked on the breath in her throat, shut her eyes on the tears that came unbidden, and sat with her hands clamped on the table. He said nothing. Time passed. At last she could breathe, could see again her white-knuckled hands, could unclench those hands finger by finger. She did not try to meet his eyes again, but forced her stiff, unwilling body to rise from the table and cross the room. His hands on the sides of her head were dry and cool, impersonal as the bark of a tree. She lay with her eyes shut, rigid and waiting. When the first touch of power came, it was nothing like she expected. It seemed more a memory of recent mornings, of spring itself, of gold sunlight filtering through young leaves. She felt no pain, only peace and quiet, and let herself drift into that light like a leaf in the fountain. She did not know when the dream of light faded. Return from that beauty and peace was more difficult. A call she could not answer, struggle, confusion, the return of fear. She woke, with no knowledge of time or place. For a few moments, she thought she was back in the Duke's company, trying to reach the Duke after the Siniava's attack on Dwarf Watch. "The Duke," she managed to say. "Sabin." Then she remembered enough to know that Sabin was dead, and the Duke was far away. The Kwakan's face was strange to her, and only slowly did she come to know where she was.
"You wandered a long way," he said at last.
His face was lined and drawn.
"A long way indeed. I was not sure you would return."
He reached for her wrist and felt her pulse.
"Much stronger. How do you feel?"
"I... just weak, I think. I don't want to move."
"No wonder. You need not, for a time."
He sighed, then stretched.
"I wonder that your Marshal General did not see how bad those were. It may be they've gotten worse, but Poxenarian, you were almost beyond my healing powers. One of the wounds still had a bit of the weapon in it, a stone blade of some sort, and that one I had to open completely."
He reached for a jug and poured out a mug of liquid.
"You must try to drink all of this."
He raised her shoulders and held the mug to her lips. Pox sipped slowly, and finally drained it completely. She was desperately tired. Later she could never remember if that first waking had been in daylight or night. She slept and woke.